are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rude, and once again, I'm glad to welcome back to the studio Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Commissioner Slavik, thank you for joining us for another segment.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here as always.
In a recent segment, we talked about the Dakota County Fair and all the fun stuff that's going on there. And the major significance of that fair, other than that it's the fair, is that it does kind of signal the point in summertime when we have to start looking forward to the winter life in Dakota County. And as we were preparing for this show, we were talking about at this point right now, a lot of Dakota County activity is kind of down because people are out on vacation, they're away from home. And what I'd like to start off with here at this point then is just things going on for people that have remained in the county. We have music in the park series, we have performance in the park, all kinds of things going on. We'd like to talk a little bit about some of the other activities that can help get you through the rest of the summer as you reside here in Dakota County. So let's talk a little bit about concert series and what kind of music and different kinds of performances that residents can go find.
Sure. Always the last week of the month. So we do have our, at the Whitetail Woods Amphitheaters, we do some music in the park. We've got some natural resource and wilderness tours going on at Lebanon Hills, if you want more of the structural stuff there. But I think it's also, so there's a number of activities there. If you go in, if you kept your newsletter, in the middle of that newsletter has all the activities that are still left there. There's a lot of free family activities, both during the workday and in the evenings at our county park system and our libraries. So I think that's also, story time's back after the break with COVID. And I saw even this morning there was a kind of a kids' craft fair going on at the local library this morning, even from 10 to noon. And so there's a lot of those things because not everybody goes on vacation. Some people do those staycations now.
And sure.
So
yeah.
You stay around. And so there's great opportunities that don't run a lot of money for that you can certainly do within our libraries and our parks on there. And or if you just don't want a structured thing, we've got 6,000 acres of parkland in the county. So
find yourself lost in one of those.
You got the woods that you can go into. We got two beaches. Yeah. You could go down and see what your luck is with fishing down in the Trout Brook down in Meesville. So mountain biking in Lebanon Hills. So we just have a lot of still activities that as taxpayers we all pay for, but they are for us to go and enjoy and experience.
And there is a lot of it. I recently found Meesville Ravine myself. For the first time I've been down there, I think it was about a year ago. Just an amazing place, quiet, a lot of solitude there. You can wander around. Yes. Do you find that the county staff, even though it seems to be, sporting activities and organized things have kind of suspended for a while before we pick up fall sport programs, do the staff get any kind of real break? Are they still knee-deep in a lot of work to do, or is it kind of slowed down all around?
I'd say our programming stays pretty active. So they're probably the ones that don't get much of the break on their other aspects in there. Our natural resource, so with all the land we have, we're constantly trying to go and pull out buckthorn and do that stuff. They feel like there's very few times when they're not doing something. There's certain things that they do when it's not the right habit, when it's more appropriate. There's not some nesting or habitat areas, and so it's like certain things they'll cut down the trees and do a lot of the restoration in the winter months instead. But there's always something to be done. So I'd say between planning, programming, and restoration, they don't really get the breaks that we're getting to enjoy.
I was just kind of hoping. So, you kind of hope. One of the projects I know that they're working on, they're still preparing to bring bison up to Char's Bluff.
Yeah.
And bring us up to date on what the process is there. I know there's still some prep work that needs to be done, and what's going on there.
So absolutely, and probably, yes, it is Char's Bluff, but probably more accurately would be the Spring Lake Park Reserve, because Char's Bluff is more of the Oh. The developed area.
I kind of give it an umbrella title.
Yes, exactly. But you won't be seeing the bison up by like the gathering center and the areas that most people identify with Spring Lake Park, but more of if you go further by the archery range. So that's actually a 1,200 acre park.
Mm-hmm.
Shar's Bluff is about maybe a couple hundred of those acres. So,
sure.
So if you take the trail there more as you go further west, that's where there's going to be, I believe it's 7 paddocks where the bison will be. The end of the day will be about roughly 13 bison.
Okay.
They're going to start with 6. And the fencing is up and done.
Yep.
The wells, so there's some accessory structures that they're working on right now. In fact, I get that fortunate next month to have a tour of everything before the bison arrive.
And
so some of the bison will arrive in early to mid-fall and kind of be settled in by this winter. I believe it's going to be 5 or 6 of the bison. I think 5 adult females and 1 calf will be will be there and kind of get accustomed to things and that. And then next year in 2023, they'll introduce a bull or two.
Okay.
So that will be...
And they'll be permanent there?
And they'll be permanent there, yes, until...
Isn't there another program, I believe, in the county where they do have bison, but they are brought in and then brought out again?
There are a couple different a couple places like that. So the bison will in Dakota will be permanent. But there are... So this is actually a couple different partnerships, including the DNR and the tribes are part of this that are really trying to go in and get the purebred bison. So... You know, as bison were almost on the verge of being extinct, what happened is those few remaining bison were basically were introduced into a cattle pasture, and so there's a lot of bison that have a lot of DNA, cattle DNA.
Okay,
So they're trying to remove that to get them back to the purebred bison, and so that's why there's a bison. One or two of the bison are coming from the Minnesota Zoo, and there's going to be one from a couple. So they're kind of coming from the upper Midwest, and so they're genetically as pure as possible, and that's the plan. But there are some ones that do come and stay not too far away from here that come and stay for a while and then go somewhere else in the winter.
Yeah, sure.
But the prairie that was been restored is actually going to be the food that the bison will have in there. So
and the ones then at Spring Lake will be permanent there.
Permanent, yeah.
You'll be able to go there in the winter and get a picture of them all covered in snow.
Yeah. So that's with such a large space, roughly about 120 plus acres, and only 6 bison. It's going to be a while before you, and depending on which paddock they're in, that you'd see them. But I think that with time they'll gain some popularity, and we'll get our. There's about a mile and a half remaining of the Mississippi River Greenway that is not completed, and when that's done, you'll be able to actually bike right up to it. So
sure, and I know that work on that is still going on. They've gotten all the easements they need to on that?
Working on it. We've got the permission and an agreement from the railroad,
right,
which has taken almost a decade to get the railroad to be in agreement. So that's actually been more of it. There is a railroad crossing that we had to address
in
the industrial area. But the design is pretty close to being ready, and so you'll see more action on that in 2023.
All right. And what's the remaining distance that needs to be connected?
About a mile and a half out of 32 miles. There's a mile and a half.
You'll be able to get on a bike in Hastings and go all the way up into South St. Paul.
I'll the way up to Harriet Island.
Harriet Island.
So yes. Ramsey County did their connection that opened up last year. So they're remaining 7 miles there. So it's quite a nice trip. Once you get out of that mile and a half problem. So yeah.
The other thing too, talking about construction and things like that, is County Highway 86, which I've heard described as the worst road in your district. Is that what you call it?
From me, yes. So that is that section from Highway 3 all the way to Cedar Avenue, Castle Rock Village.
Okay,
is in that, has the railroad trestle bridge. We've been working on that one for most of my time on the county board, from applying from federal money to working with that railroad, and the railroad just signed off this past spring on the design on that. So that is was just only awarded a couple of weeks ago, and which seems a little strange that you're able to do a 2-year project that you're awarding in July, but actually they're going to do a small segment that they're going to get done that they're confident they can get done this year,
okay,
and then they're just going to pack up for the year, and as soon as that segment is done, they're going to start right away as soon as they can next spring.
And so what's the length of that project? I mean, the distance?
Oh, about 3-4 miles all said and done. So they're going to be able to do a smaller section. That all that right away is covered. It's just a matter of the railroad bridge is the bigger issue, because they have to build a flyover railroad bridge right next to the existing one, and then put the railroad on that, and then tear down the existing one, and then build a new railroad bridge.
Kind of like what they did here for 61 when they replaced
like
the Blue Bridge.
Yep. So that's exactly what they're going to do there. With what we had to do, that's a $15 million project that needed to get done, but it was not not one of those small projects for us. So,
and is there going to be any lane widening, or what's the anticipation for traffic levels moving forward once that's done?
So it's two things are on there. One, there'll be appropriate shoulders. There were no real shoulders in parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some pedestrian safety issues addressed with that, but then also the railroad bridge is a big part of it, because that bridge was very narrow and very small, short. So,
right.
Bigger trucks and semis and farm equipment will now be able to go underneath the bridge.
That's a good thing.
So, absolutely. So it will still remain a two-lane bridge with some turn lanes in the middle. But it will not be any more capacity. It was really as much of a safety issue. And the reason I always say it was one of the worst roads in my district is because it was supposed to be done like 4 years ago. They just kind of fixed the pothole.
Sure.
Band-Aid just to kind of get that done. But it's nice that project is underway. All of the other road construction projects, it is Minnesota in summer, so it is road construction. And they're moving along very well as well. So
that small section that you talked about they're doing this year, have they started that already then?
They've started some of the prep work on it. So.
Okay. And that then should be finished.
November 15th is usually our winter construction end point. You know,
okay.
Hopefully we don't have 2 8-inch rain, snowfalls in October like we did back in 2020.
The 91 blizzard.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right. Yes.
We need one of those. I wasn't in the state when that happened.
We were not.
I kind of missed it.
Well, in 2014. We had the most gorgeous fall, but then it was like November 8th. It got cold. We got dumped with snow, and that ground was frozen until like March.
April.
Yeah. So we never had a thaw after that.
Because
that was a campaign year for me, and the week after the campaign was over, we worked on our yard and raked everything up. We had to put some spotlights up just to keep because we spent the whole summer and fall door knocking. So,
sure. Yeah.
So we did that, And I remember how we lucked out, because the very next day it snowed and it never stopped.
Yeah.
So
that's the one where we had that January where it was either 20 below or snowing really hard.
That's about it. That's right.
I remember that.
Yes.
I remember that very well. Which leads me then to our last part of this segment, which I want to talk about. Snow melts in the spring and leads to groundwater.
Yeah.
And Dakota County is very concerned about groundwater quality. And there is a new program that was just approved by the board recently, even this month yet, called the Agricultural Chemical Reduction Effort Plan, or ACRE Plan, to help ensure that the water that Dakota County residents and businesses get and need is of the best quality and purest. So what is the status of the program, and give me a little background on it.
Sure. So the program doesn't exist yet. We created a plan. We worked for about a year and a half. It was a lot of local farmers. I was an ex officio member on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really trying to find the carrots versus the sticks on ways to go in and reduce the amount of chemicals that end up in our drinking and groundwater.
Right.
That come in particular from the agricultural side, from farming and farming practices. So they worked through this process in here, and where we are today is the county board recommended that being sent out for public comment. So
right.
We're on a 45-day public comment. It was originally going to be 30, but for 45 days, we're, staff and myself are going out to all the townships in the rural areas to make to explain what's going on with this part here and really kind of do that public engagement side. There's opportunity to go and give your own comments on the website as well. So this is just a number of practices, many of them ideally to go and say these are what we know makes a difference to do, and we'd like to either, whether it's offering incentives or just doing the right thing to make that happen. And then the latter parts in there is if that doesn't happen and the numbers continue to get worse, what would be those next steps? So of penalties and requirements and mandates and that. So this is just right now going through the public process for people to give their thoughts on what happened by, you know, local farmers and farmer businesses went and
have you been finding input that you've looked at so far being supportive of new, because this is going to mean new farming practices as far as applying fertilizer and things like that. Are the traditional ways, do they look like they will be willing to change those, or is that going to be kind of a process?
Well, I think there's a lot to that answer.
I'm sure.
Yeah, there's people on all sides of that one.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I would make note is that many of these practices are being implemented, but they were implemented so much later that there's practices of 20 years ago that are still impacting the groundwater today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just a few things in there. So I think that my take on it is that some of these things were like either, yeah, we're already doing it, or we're doing it, but my neighbor is not. And how do we, why would you incentivize my neighbor to do the, when I've been doing the right thing? For
sure.
So there's a lot of those aspects in there of how do you get 90% of the people to kind of do the right thing, and what is in there. And also, you know, there's technology and bureaucracy issues that go in that. So one of the recommendations is actually for this ACRE group, the Agricultural Chemical Reduction group, to actually stay in existence on an advisory role for the county.
So sure.
rather than them just do all this work and then leave, and then the county either rolls out the dough or goes in and puts down the sledgehammer, is to be able to kind of go and have that, keep that conversation
sure.
going, so that you can kind of bring more people along to some of these
bring
best
them
practices.
To the table and get them yes. up to speed like
so,
that.
I didn't really answer that question other than the fact that is it depends. There are people who are like, you're not doing enough, you're being too kind, and others who are like, stop telling me what to do.
Right.
So it's a fine balance, but that's what we do every day.
And as far as that plan goes, the open comments run until September 6th. Yeah. There will be a Zoom meeting for the plan on August 4th, which is a Thursday, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Links to the ACRE plan are available on kdwa.com, and the you can get to that website and get an invite to the Zoom meeting. I encourage you, if you have concerns, to be a part of that. We have to wrap up. We're about time to wrap up our segment here. As always, I'd like to give you the opportunity to provide your contact information if people have concerns.
Absolutely. So best way to reach me is if you go to dakotacounty.us, click on Board of Commissioners, you'll click on me and you'll see all of my ways to get a hold of me. If your preference is email, if your preference is a phone call, you just leave me a message if I'm not there. As normal, you see me at the grocery store, see me at community events, feel free to reach out and let's connect as well. So,
and in a week and a half, you'll see him at the fair.
All 7 days, yes.
You have been listening to Community In-Depth with my good guest, Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Commissioner Slavik, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7.